Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. Trying to get this thing going live. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. I am your host, Tramell Thompson, and check this out. We got a lot to talk about today. So much transpired for MTA workers today. So much transpired for other public sector employees in New York City today. This is going to be one of the most important shows that I probably ever did. Because what I said was going to happen actually happened. Now, before I get into the news today, I need for you guys to share out the show. If you're watching on YouTube, share it out. If you're watching on Facebook, share it out. We just started streaming live from LinkedIn. We expanded our platform to LinkedIn. If you are not a member of the channel yet on YouTube, it is 99 a month to join. There's no excuses on why you guys is not supporting that. No excuses for that. You can also, right here, right there, you see it. You can also donate via Cash App, $Progressive Action 100. But like I said, this show right here is going to be one of the most important shows I have ever conducted. Now, before I get into that, I want to give my condolences to the family of Hilarion Joseph. He was a track worker, 57 years old, 6 days away from completing probation with the MTA as a track worker. Something happened on the tracks. He allegedly, his clothing possibly got caught up on the train. Train went into emergency. Train operator went to investigate and found the gentleman deceased up under the train. Once again, we would like to give our condolences to the family, friends, and coworkers to Mr. Joseph. What people don't understand, working for the MTA, especially working on the tracks, train traffic, live third rail, heavy duty equipment, old equipment that don't even properly work, is that the danger is there, right? People underestimate the danger that people who work on the roadbed face, track workers, contractors, RTO flaggers, signals. People underestimate the work that's done on those tracks. The MTA do not care about your safety. Let's just start there. Let's just be honest, right? In situations like this, believe me when I tell you, because I just went through a situation like this last year, the MTA do not try to fix the safety issues. They look for a department to blame. So the train operator is part of a department called RTO. The track workers are part of a department called MOW. What they do, they try to blame the train operator, they try to do all that funny stuff, but they never make safety changes. They never make safety changes. Just last year, a situation similar to this, and there was other things involved in which I'm not going to get into. They blamed it on the train operator. They did not make any changes to the safety guidelines. The superintendents and the supervisors who are investigating these incidences do not have no training in investigation. You become a manager, they expect you to know how to investigate. Investigation takes a skill. It takes a skill to investigate. They have superintendents who don't know how to investigate. And they come up with these crazy conclusions, and then nothing changed. This is just how it works. And the pay of all the workers that's working on that roadbed is not worth what they should be getting. And I'm explaining to you guys, right, because you're working around live third rail. A train don't have to kill you. You could trip and fall on the third rail and you could pass away. You could hit your head. You're carrying heavy-duty equipment. There has been instances of work train breaks given out and workers breaking their ribs and legs and things of that nature. And the MTA blamed the worker and never their equipment. The MTA blamed the worker and never their safety policy. The MTA do not care about safety. Tramell, why do you say the MTA do not care about safety? Look what happened when train operator Garrett Goble died in the train fire. They did not implement any type of safety changes after that. Not one. Not one safety change. They don't care. Trust me when I tell you, they don't care. And I want to pull up the safety memo or the condolence memo that the MTA actually pulled up. And I want to read this. We have to analyze everything that's going on and pay attention to their words. Dear colleagues, and this letter was written by Davey and Demetrius Critchlow, the senior vice president, right? Dear colleagues, Words fail to address the enormity of the current moment. We write this letter at a time that is saddening, exhausting, and numbing. The most difficult responsibility of any organization's leadership is reporting the death of an employee on the job. It is with the deepest of regrets that Demetrius and I notify you of such a tragedy today. Track worker Valerion Joseph, 57, who was assigned to flagging duty, the scheduled work, was hit by a northbound D train entering the 34th Street Herald Square station shortly after midnight. The injuries resulted in death of Hilarion, who worked with us for less than a year and was always enthusiastic on the job. We extend our condolences and share in the deep pain currently experienced by his loved ones. At this time of need, we offer our full support to the family of our fallen coworker. Whether or not you knew him personally, we wanted you to hear from us directly regarding this incident. Demetrius and I want to assure everyone that a full investigation and a board of inquiry into this incident is currently underway. We are also reviewing our safety procedures and will work proactively with the TWU to make certain that we are doing everything possible to avert a repeat of this tragic accident. This is an extremely difficult time for all of us, particularly as we view safety as such a strong component of our operation. We ask you to all continue doing your part to uphold our culture of safety first. If you see something that may be unsafe on the job, alert your supervisor immediately. Be vigilant and practice situational awareness every moment. The most important thing for us, above all, is that all MTA New York City Transit employees travel to work to perform their duties and return home safely. People, there was a lot of BS in that letter. There was a lot of BS in that letter. Every time that there's an accident, they say this line right here. We are also reviewing our safety procedures and work proactively with the TWU to make certain that we are doing everything possible to avert a repeat of this tragic accident. Whenever there's an accident or death or injury, the review is just a review. There's never no changes. Because any change that they make that go against service, they're not going to do it at all. The MTA know that some of their procedures are unsafe. And the only time that they address these unsafe procedures is when there's an accident or a fatality. They are aware that there are danger zones in their safety procedures. And they roll the dice every time with your life, with your family member life, until something happens. Because they all about service and not safety. And just to give you a great example, and I wrote about this on Facebook prior to Mr. Joseph's tragic fatality. When train operators train for breaks in emergency, there's no flagging set up for that train operator that's entering the roadbed. There's no true system in place to flag and alert oncoming trains that there are workers on the roadbed. Now, what the MTA is going to say is, yeah, we get on the radio and we let them know. What they don't tell you, we let other train operators know that there's an employee on the roadbed. What they do not tell you is that these radios have a lot of dead spots. So it's possible that a worker could be on the roadbed and RCC can be trying to flag a train and that train operator do not hear RCC. And they going past a worker on the roadbed at normal speed. This happened to my train operator south of 7th Avenue in Brooklyn going to Manhattan one day. This woman was spooked out because she almost got killed on the roadbed. And she screamed at RCC and they did not do anything. This is the MTA for you guys. They do not care. Now, the proper way to do it is to make positive communication with all trains in the area. And no trains move until every train in the area is notified and there's a verbal communication going on between that train operator and RCC to protect our coworker on the roadbed when there's no proper flagging set up. The MTA won't do that. Why? Because it slows down their service. I mean, it's despicable what they're doing here, people. These incidences are going to continue to happen because the MTA continue to fail to make the changes that they need to make. And what is our union doing about it? Our union is in the business of service over safety also. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy. I know they probably sitting back saying, no, Tramiel don't know what he's talking about. Well, why aren't y'all answering all of these fatalities that's happening? Why y'all not holding the MTA accountable for their failed safety procedures? Who you really there to protect? This is literally what we are up against, people. Forgot to tell you guys, the phone line is open. You could call in live, 563-999-3714. Call in. This show is about to get deep. You could call in anytime, interrupt the show. It's about to get deep, people. They do not care about your safety or health. Believe that. Now, going on to our next topic, my brother, Chris Drummond, went up to the MTA board yesterday and let them have it regarding safety and a host of other issues. And I tell you guys, it's important to go to these MTA board meetings. It's important to not be silent because every time you choose silence, you choose the side of your oppressor. This is true 1,000% of the time, people. 1,000% of the time, this is true. And Drummond went up to the MTA board and gave them a piece of his mind. Rightfully so. There should be 1,000 Drummonds at the MTA board once a month speaking our piece, because guess what? Our union reps do not speak for us. And we don't hold them accountable either, so we are responsible for that part. But let's get into the video with Drummond, because it's very important that you guys listen to what he says, so check it out. Drummond did an amazing job at the MTA board yesterday. I'm very proud of what he said and what he did. Very proud. And we need to do more of that. Now, I want to bring you guys up to speed. But before I bring you guys up to speed, let me get to the first caller. Caller 8786. Yes, how you doing?
Hey, Kramel, good evening. This is Charlton D'Souza, president of Passengers United.
What's going on, Charlton? How you doing? Long time no speak.
Yeah, so Kramel, on behalf of all of us at Passengers United, I just want to tell the transit family, we are just devastated to hear about what happened to Hilary and Joseph at 34th Street, Herald Square. Obviously, this was a tragedy that could have been avoided. And, you know, it's my understanding that the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating this incident. But going back to what Brother Drummond said about the safety issues and everything, I've been at Passengers United, we've been on the news, we've been on the front lines speaking up for transit workers because we're concerned about what's going on in the subway system. And we've been ignored. You know, I was out on patrol overnight with the Guardian, a member of the Guardian Angels. We were out there, and we had an EDP situation where an EDP was holding the gate open. He was harassing people. He had no shirt on, and he was high on drugs. What do the police do? They come. They didn't arrest him. They didn't even, but we asked them to take him to the hospital. The brother needed to be in the hospital. He was having a mental breakdown. Guess what they did? They took him upstairs and they released him. He had no shirt on. It was pouring rain in the cold. So what is the plan from Chief Kemper in transit? We're not getting answers. Chief Kemper at New York City Transit has refused to meet with us. And what we're seeing is just a cover-up. You know, 11 people got murdered in the subway system. And Kramel, I wish you would have played the soundbite of me at the New York City Transit meeting. But I've been speaking out about this now for the last 3 or 4 years, even before the pandemic. You know, if you look back at the YouTube videos at the MTA meetings, and, you know, what is it going to take? When that situation happened, you know, with the recent shooting at 49th Street that happened. But it's just, look at what happened with Derek Goble with that situation, with the shopping cart. They're still letting shopping carts in the subway system. So at this point, I feel that the union is not going to take appropriate action. And I was told not to comment on union issues, but you know what? I'm going to do it because what is it going to take? What happens if a transit worker was shot at Ralph Avenue? My colleague rushed over there to the scene, and he was over there. But transit employees right now are not safe, and passengers are not safe. We have to come together. We have to come together to go against the union. The union's got other interests right now, and, you know, I don't even want to get into all the politics. You know the back and forth, Kramel. I don't even have to tell you with the other organization and Riders Alliance. But I have a video that's about to drop about the vice president of stations. About a year ago, I was on Channel 2 News regarding station agents being taken out of the boat. And the day that you were assaulted, and it was the day after that, I bumped into the vice president of stations, and we had a conversation. And I asked him, I said, you know, why would you be in support of getting the station agents out of the boat? And he said something to me to the point that, why do you care? I have this on video. I've been saving the video for a rainy day, but that shit's about to drop, and I want all the transit workers to see this. The union doesn't care about safety. What is it going to take?
After the
36th Street explosion, they didn't do anything.
Yeah, look. I want to see that video, so make sure that you get it to me when you send it, because we're broadcast that live everywhere.
Oh, okay, so you'd rather me send you that video directly. All right, brother. I'll send you that video directly, definitely.
Let me get to the next caller, because I got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight.
All right, Tramel, listen, we support you, man. I hope New York City Transit keeps you, brother. Keep on fighting. A good fight.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, let's just run down the callers real quick. Let's run down the callers. Callers, let's try to keep it a little light tonight, because I got a lot of stuff to talk about. And trust me, people, trust me when I tell you, this news that I have is going to blow you out the water. Caller 6483, you're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
How you doing? It's Garcia, all right? Celso Garcia, bus operator.
Let's go.
Okay? And I'm saying, the pen is mightier than the sword, all right? Remember that. And I don't think we're going to stop until we have to stop, and we have no choice to stop, but to keep exposing, speaking up, because this is the public's property. This is our city. This is our state, and it belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the politicians or to anyone else. Our kids go to these schools. Our kids ride these buses and these trains, and we want to make sure it doesn't get run down like the 1970s and the 1980s. And we're not going to stop doing what we got to do, no matter how much they try to intimidate workers. And the truth will never be stopped, okay? We can't stop the sun with our finger, right, or with our thumb. We can't cover the truth. The truth is coming out slowly, and all those people that are accomplices and all the good people have to speak up and stand up so the truth can come out, okay? That's what I have to tell you today, okay? Thank you, and I support
you.
I support Drummond, and I support all of you, and I think that we need a new union, new politicians, and new people that care about the population and the people in this city and in this state. We need people that actually care and want to make a change to everything that's happening. And thank you. And there's a lot of good people, including you, yourself, and Drummond, and a lot of other people that are standing up and speaking up, no matter what the consequences are. Thank you, sir, and have a good day.
Thanks for calling in, Celso. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Bye.
That was Celso Garcia, active member. Active member, that's what I like, activity. Let me get to this next caller real quick. Before, I got to give y'all some important Drummond news, man. Some very important Drummond news. We're going to break that down, too. Caller 1799, you're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yes. Hi, Tramel. My name is Michael. I just wanted to call very quick into your line and just say thank you for everything that you do. And I appreciate your, you speaking out for the people that work over here. I'm scared to say certain things about myself because I'm new and I don't want to get watched that differently. But, it's been very stressful enough in the agency right now. But, you speaking, for a lot of the members is very helpful. And I just really appreciate it every single night what you do. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Yes.
I appreciate those calls. Thank you. Shout out to my brother, Edward Acosta, with the Cash App. Y'all can hit the Cash App right there. Hit the Cash App, shouting out everybody live tonight. Now, before I get to any more callers, calling live 563-999-3714. But before I get into more callers, just if you call in, just hold on. I got to get through this part of the show. I got to get through this part of the show because it's very important. Now, before the call is called in, I talked about Drummond going to the MTA board meeting. Drummond is on Facebook. Drummond is doing shop gates. Drummond is making a name for himself out here. Shout out to Drummond. when you make a name for yourself out in this political union world, the status quo, the incumbents, they tend to attack people like Drummond. They tend to attack people like me. So guess what stunt they pulled on Drummond the other day? They brought union charges against Drummond because, check this out, he took a picture of his signature at the union meeting. Jesse Argueta, the division chair, I'm very disappointed in him. Very disappointed in him. Brought charges against Drummond. And they are saying it's against the bylaws. Now I want you guys to this is insane. This is literally insane. Because there is a single word in the bylaws that say that Drummond violated anything. Nothing. You know why they brought charges against Drummond? Because he's standing up for you. He's standing up for you. So they want to play this political game to try to get Drummond eliminated from the next election. They spend more time fighting their own members than they do fighting management. Why they never brought charges against management during COVID when they had us working unsafe? Why they never brought charges against management when our brother Garrett Goble died and management kept the same protocol in place to not protect us? They work hand in hand with management, and they try to silence anyone who goes against management protocols, who goes against the union playing the go-along to get-along game. This is your labor union, people. But now I want to point to something specific. What bylaw did Drummond break? Right? And I'm telling you guys, there's nothing in the bylaws that say Drummond violated anything. What's more alarming is this. If your union reps, And let me make this clear. There was about 8 people who voted no. They was all in stations and all in RTO, except one person from RTO. I'm very disappointed in him, Brad Snow. What did you see in the bylaws to say that Drummond violated anything? What did you see? Now, check this out. If the union administration cannot understand the bylaws, and anyone could go take a look at the bylaws. The bylaws is not a complicated document. It's not complicated. You don't need a lawyer, or you don't need any type of special skill. You just need reading comprehension to dissect the bylaws. If the 40 plus other people who voted yes to bring charges against Drummond at the MTA, at the might as well say MTA board meeting, because our e-board meeting is like the MTA board meeting. You would think that. But if 40-plus members voted yes to bring charges against Chris Drummond at the local 100 board meeting, they don't understand the bylaws. And if they do not understand the bylaws, guess what else they do not understand, people? You guessed right. The contract, which is much more complicated to understand than the bylaws. So now it explains why we get inferior contracts compared to other people. It explains why we don't get safety protections in our contracts. It explains why we did not get hazard pay, why we do not get hazard pay. It explains why we don't get a better work-home balance. Because your reps do not understand the bylaws. And let me show you who's responsible for this. Let's get to that. These are your union-wide officers who's on the e-board. So these people, I want you to look at them. They have absolutely 0% integrity. Richard Davis, the president, he's there when they're reading off these charges. You trying to tell me that he does not know the bylaws well enough to say, hey, these charges are frivolous and we should not be wasting our time and resources doing this? Tiarello, nothing to say? Wichard, nothing to say? Latoya, nothing to say? All of these people who are supposed to have your best interest, especially negotiating contracts, voted yes to bring charges against Chris Drummond on a simple document in the bylaws. Look at their names. Look at their names. Look at their names. I want to give a shout out to the people who voted no. David Modest. I don't think Lee was there. Giassi. Jason. Mike. Shout out to Stations. Tamika. I think Ricky. A few of the Stations people, and I think a TA Surface person voted no. But listen, these are the people who is selling us out, bringing frivolous charges against Drummond. This is the game that they play. They try to silence anyone who want to upset their apple cart. Anyone who decide not to remain silent. Because let me tell you something about these elected reps, specifically speaking, these local 100 reps. They want to be corrupt. And not only do they want to be corrupt, but they want to be corrupt in peace, which means that they want to be corrupt and they don't want you to say anything. They want you to just take the licking. They want to be the end-all, be-all. They want to be the final master in these video games. And to be honest with you, they are the total opposite. The reason why we are in the situations that we are in, they are proving themselves. They have no integrity. By political tribalism. They can't think on their own. A lot of them do not want to go back to what they was hired to do. They are bus operators. They don't want to be bus operators. They actually want to work in corporate America. They wanted to work in corporate America, then they should have took a job in Wall Street because they are not acting like union reps. And a lot of these guys is about saving themselves. When Drummond did his video and he was talking about Kelly, you know, Kelly was coming, hey, brother, hey, brother, hey, brother. Kelly is living his best life right now. Kelly was a cleaner. Now he's an executive. You think that he's not going to do everything in his power to make sure that he never pick up a broom and dustpan in his life again as a transit worker? You think that he's not going to do that? So guess what he's going to do to make sure that that doesn't happen? He's going to go along to get along. Now, I have no problem with Kelly. I didn't have no problem with Kelly. But what's really going on here? This is not a union, people. This is people only worrying about their own best interests. They are self-serving. You cannot serve a union and be self-serving at the same time. It just doesn't work. It does not work. You cannot convince me that you can make it work. None of these union reps want to go back to doing the job they was hired to do at the MTA. None of these union release reps do not want to go back to the job they was hired to do in the MTA. What they want to do is go along to get along. Stay away from the tools. Go on free trips. The perks of being a union rep is way higher than the perks of being an MTA employee. Do you hear what I'm saying? Think about what I'm saying. The perks of being a union rep supersedes the perks of actually being an MTA employee. Now you see why they want to go and run and be a rep. They don't have to put in 30, 60, or 20 days to get a day off. They don't have to do a vacation pick. They don't need doctor's lines as to why they was out. They don't need to write G2s. They don't have to be at a particular place. They don't have to hit a chronos clock. They don't have to deal with disrespectful supervision. By the way, the disrespect is going to happen more because Richard Davis, who can't protect the members, decided to start a fight with Mike Karube and the supervisors for no reason. This is what we're dealing with, people. This is what we're dealing with. And I'm going to tell you this. There should be members very upset that someone who's speaking on your behalf, Chris Drummond, is being brought up on charges and y'all not saying anything. What I think that y'all should do, I don't care what department that you're from, at the next RTO meeting, if Drummond goes to it, people should be there in support of Drummond. He supports you guys. He's at MTA board meetings fighting. He's at rallies. He's doing live videos. I expect people to support Drummond. Hit him up after this live and say, Drummond, how can we support you? How can we make sure that they won't screw you over? Because if they silence Drummond, you lose a voice that's fighting for you, and we can't afford to do that. Man, this union is unbelievable. But let me tell y'all something. You could call in live 563-999-3714. You could donate to the Cash App right there. $Progressive Action 100. If you're watching on YouTube, you could join the channel for 99 cents a month by becoming a member. There's no excuses. This next news that I'm about to drop for you guys. As a matter of fact, let me say something. I got something. Something special is coming up this month. And it's going to be groundbreaking. It's going to be shell shocking. And we taking no prisoners. But this news right here, let me break this down for y'all. Civil servants, including NYPD and MTA employees, not exempt from $15 congestion pricing toll. So guess what? If you live in Jersey and you got to come through to your job, to Brooklyn, and you got to take a bridge or a tunnel, your union didn't do their job. They did not get you exempt from paying that congestion pricing fee. And forget if you work in Brooklyn. To all the bus operators that work in Quail Depot, you will have to pay that $15 congestion pricing toll. This is all in the congestion pricing in New York EDF that was released today. If you got to come through Manhattan to come to work and you're driving because, you know, we cannot afford in the city in which we live because the union reps who's voting yes to bring charges on members because they can't understand the bylaws, they can't understand the contract, and we can't expect for them to negotiate things for us like this. That's just the truth. Now let's look at the exact wording of what is being said about public sector employees. Pay attention. And for people who's watching outside the MTA, this includes you too. School teachers, police officers, judges, transit workers, firefighters, and other public sector employees perform important, valuable work that benefits the public. Nevertheless, just as public sector employees are not exempt from existing tolls on bridges, tunnels, and highways, they should not be exempt from a program designed to reduce congestion in the Central Business District, whether driving privately owned or publicly owned vehicles. There may well be reasons related to working conditions and for the like of government, like for government, public employers to insist to highly encourage certain public sector workers to drive into the CBD rather than take mass transit. In those situations, employers have the option of reimbursing personnel for some or all of the congestion price and toll, based on factors not within TBTA's capacity to evaluate or to monitor. Now, this is the most important part that I'm going to read where it says, employees who must drive to work. Some workers have no choice but to drive to their place of employment because of the nature of their work or their work schedule. When that is the case, it is the responsibility of employers to reimburse employees for the cost of the CBD toll, just as employers might today cover the cost of parking, mileage, and or tolls. People, do you know what that means? That means that your union reps, your union leadership, who don't know how to read the bylaws, but we expect them to know the contract, and we already seen them laid down during one of the most unprecedented times for transit workers and other city workers in the world. Let's not forget transit workers lost more workers than any other city agency in the world. Any other one agency in the world. And they failed to get us protections in our contract this year. So now with the Transportation Mobility Review Board is saying that if you need to be exempt, guess who has to go get the exemption for you? EWU Local 100 leadership. The same leadership who has failed to get us an easy pass discount. The same leadership who can't get us passes on both of the railroads simultaneously, and I'm talking about Long Island Railroad and Metro North. The same leadership that cannot negotiate hazard pay for us during one of the most unprecedented, once-in-a-lifetime situations regarding the pandemic. The story gets deeper, though, people. Story gets deeper. Now, prior to the board coming up with this decision, Richard Davis and the Local 100 administration, and this is going to blow y'all mind right here. This next part is going to blow y'all mind, and I want y'all to call in. I want y'all to call in after I say and put this next thing up, right? John Samuelson is on the Traffic Review Mobility Board, right? The union was saying, the union administration, Local 100, was saying, we have our international president on the board, so we're going to get a pass. And let me break that down to show y'all the timeline of that, right? So this board was established August 1st, 2022. And we see it right there. Mayor Adams nominates John Samuelson to Traffic Mobility Review Board. Well, I think I was saying it wrong the whole time, but it's all good. Mayor Adams nominates John Samuelson to the board. And, you know, they try to make it seem like it's powerful. You know, this is favors doing, this is favors for favors, basically, at the end of the day. You know, oh, yeah, you know, he serves the international president. You know, the union was saying, we got representation on the board, so we're going to be good, and this and that, this and that, this and that. Happened to that representation. We have the highest ranking union member in TWU, period, on the Mobility Review Board, and we still did not get an exemption. What does that say to you, people? What does that say to you? Guess what? I know it says that they're weak, right? It says that they're weak. But guess what? There's more. This is going to blow your mind. This is going to blow your mind. This is going to blow your mind. I hope y'all ready. I hope y'all ready for this. Guess what happened today when they did not give us transit workers an exemption? John Samuelson quits congestion price and panel as it releases new details of tolling. He abandoned us. He left us for dead. Instead of him staying on the board and fighting for us, he decided to save his own political career and separate himself from it because he knows that this is going to damage him. He knows that. Look at this. John's union boss quits. Congestion pricing panel as it releases new details of tolling plan. He left us for dead. Now let's read what it says. As the MTA filled in key details Thursday on a plan to toll motorists, driving into the core of Manhattan as a way to fund mass transit improvements, a member of the panel that shaped the congestion pricing proposal resigned in protest. Labor leader John Samuelson yanked his name off of the congestion pricing recommendations issued by the Traffic Mobility Review Board, charging in a two-page resignation letter that the MTA has failed to meet the moment by not expanding express bus service prior to launching the vehicle tolling program, BS. Let's actually look at that resignation letter. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to read all of this. But in this resignation letter, I'm telling you, not one time did he say they failed to give MTA workers an exemption, which shows me he was never on our side from the beginning. Not one time did he mention exemption in this resignation letter. He was talking about, well, you want people to pay for the tolls, but you're not increasing service. You're not adding service to dead spots in the city. Not one time did he say that. Not one time. I mean, he said that. Not one time did he say about the exemption. And I want to be clear to the bus operators, because this is not only going to affect Quail Depot. A lot of people come from New Jersey. A lot of people come from upstate. This is going to affect a lot of titles for New York City Transit. How do you like your union representation now? Now, let me tell you what the game is going to be. Because the congestion pricing, if you haven't been paying attention in the city, the tolling framework is already up. The infrastructure is already up. That was just the new tax added onto you when you come to work. And your union administration knew that this was coming, this contract, and they failed to get protections in the contract regarding it. This is your union representation. This is the group that you voted for. This is the same group that voted yes to bring frivolous charges against Chris Drummond. This is them. This is the party and BS game. This is the people who come to your crew rooms and take pictures and tell you how much they love you and how much they care for you and how they're there to fight for you. Meanwhile, they're pushing a knife deeper in your back. This is your union representation. Like they say, elections have consequences. John Samuelson resigning because they told him, F you, we're not giving your workers an exemption. All of this, them saying, oh, we're the most powerful union in the country. We are the weakest union in New York City. We have seen it because through the contracts that we have. Do this round of bargaining alone. We have seen it. We have the weakest union in this city. And guess what? We all had a role to play in that because we do not hold them accountable. Now, the good thing about what's happening is that there's an election coming up next year, and we have an opportunity to get these guys out of here. There should be nothing that they could tell you to say, hey, you should vote for us. There's nothing that they could say to you to say, hey, you should vote for us. Nothing that they could say. What could somebody tell me? What can they say to convince you to vote for them? What can they say to you? The only thing Stand United has done was stick the knife deeper in our back. When they should be focusing on taking the knife out of our back, they put the knife deeper in our back. And I remember Malcolm X said, if the knife is like 9 inches in my back and you pull it out 3 inches, that's not progress. Ironically, in this situation, this union administration is sticking the knife deeper in our back every chance that they get. And the real reason is because they're not qualified for the job. They're not qualified to be union reps. They do not know how to do their job. And y'all cool with that? Let's go back to what the leadership looked like. Let's go back to what the leadership looked like. Look at these faces. Let me see. Shirley Martin. Oh man, come on. I don't know Richard Rocco, but he voted yes to something that's not in the bylaws. He's bad also. I told y'all about Donald Yates. I told y'all about Donald Yates. Donald Yates do not know what he's talking about. Ask Donald Yates how they go fix this quail shit. Hey, hold up. Let me get back on camera. Michael J. Quail Depot. Isn't Yates from there? Isn't y'all Depot in the CBD? Anything below 60th Street? Donald Yates is cool with you guys getting the tax, the extra tax, because you happen to work in the city. This is y'all friend. Now let me tell y'all what they go say. Yo, you know, next contract, we're going to take this head on, and we're going to need everybody to fight. You know, only we're qualified to do the job. They're not going to be able to do it. They couldn't get us a discount with Easy Pass. Now, think about this. Think about this logically. If any city agency that have free Easy Pass access, especially to come to and from work, shouldn't it be the agency, the employees that's connected to the agency that controls that? There's nothing that they could do. Nothing that they could do to fix this situation. They're just not built for it. They're too much in bed with management. The Traffic Mobility Review Board told Samuelson, get out of here. Told him, get out of here. This is what y'all decided to vote. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. The phone lines is open, 563-999-3714. And guess what, people? I am not done. We got something else to cover. Now, just recently, there has been a major change with workers' comp. Major change with workers' comp. Now, instead of when you get hurt on a job, you can't go to your own doctor. You have to contact the MCA, and they're going to send you to a doctor who's going to say that you're healthy enough to come to work and screw up the process even more. When the MCA say that they care about safety, you can't care about safety if you continuously send injured workers back to work before their body is even healed to come back to work. Safety doesn't work like that. That you're actually working against safety. So now they decided to, let me put it on the screen. Once again, live, safety on the job is everyone's first priority, but if an injury does occur, we have a responsibility to the injured employee to get them the care that they need. No, the only responsibility that they have is what they're not saying is to get you back to work as fast as possible, whether you're healed or not. That's what they say. And if you decide to fight them, we're going to controvert your workers' comp case and economically force you back to work because we don't really care about your safety. Our responsibility is not the injured employee and getting them the care they need. Our responsibility is service, and service cannot happen if the manpower is down and people are out. So they do everything in their power to make sure that you get back to work. Right? So with this new program, like I said, you have 30 days. You have to go to the PPO. That's what it's called, the PPO, Preferred Provider Organization. Let me put the other screenshot on the screen because it's about to get deep real quick. Right? So you got that, and you must go to them for 30 days, right? Now, once you go to them for the 30 days, if you decide to opt out of 30 days, then the MTA, they have a right to require a second opinion, right? So from the initial treatment, the person who decides or the person the second opinion comes from is from the doctors and APPO. I mean, how crazy is that? How crazy is that? Right? Now, I want to show you what's interesting about this because this has sprung upon us out of nowhere. Now, back in 2017, once again, when John Samuelson was president of the local, now he's international president once again, this was in the contract, this same exact program. The union and the employers agreed to avail themselves of the provision in the New York State Workers' Compensation Law, which allows for workers' comp medical visits to be provided by state-certified preferred provider organizations within state-certified insurance carriers. The parties recognize that this transition will require joint labor management review to assure necessary geographical coverage, choice of providers, and quality care. As such, the parties agree that the conversion to the PPO network will be effectuated no later than December 31st, 2017. Well, guess what, Pete? Isn't it 2023? We're talking about almost 6 years later. Another thing, if the MTA had the right to do this, why is this in our contract in 2017? Why was this negotiated in our contract if the MTA could have unilaterally did this? So you know what that points to me? If this was in our contract in 2017, did Richard Davis sign another side letter to help the MTA regarding employee availability? Let me see if I can pull that file up. Let me see if I put that in my computer. I don't know if this is it. I don't know. That's not it. But I need to find that. I need to find that. But if you look into our contract, the union administration, they got something in our contract called gain sharing, right? Now, gain sharing is an agreement where management and the union will split the money, the profits, if the total availability goes up, right? It's a profit sharing thing. Now, when you have something like gain sharing involved, and you're in agreement with management with that, that means that the union administration have an interest to getting you back to work, right? So this is the times where employees go out from work. IOD, workers' comp, suspension, sick. So what does the union do? They make it harder for you to go out when you're sick. They sign that secret side letter, and they try to say, well, you know, It wasn't what you thought it was, but Richard Davis' signature was on it. Right? When you look at this agreement from 2017. It was designed to get workers back to work because the union is in bed with management regarding gain sharing. When you look at what the MTA just put out via email last week regarding Corvell and the PPO and getting using their exclusively their network of doctors to determine how injured you are, shows that the union is in bed with management. If you notice, they did not say one thing regarding disagreement. We could take a look at Local 100 website regarding that. We can look at their website regarding that to see. Let's see what's on the union front page. Let's see what's on their page. You guys see, let me see. All right, regarding the track worker deaths, table tennis, Chinese Day, Italian Day, readings on Diwali, arbitration Winchester record straight, nothing on Corvell and this new MTA. I won't even say new MTA initiative, but this initiative to get injured workers back to work faster. Now, let's be clear. Well, some people will probably say, Tramell, how do you know that these doctors won't be fair? Because they're going to be just like the IME. And this is when you're in a capitalistic environment, and it's all about the money. If these MTA doctors allow workers to be out more than what the MTA may like, then guess what? The MTA is going to find new doctors to put inside their PPO system that's going to do what they say do. Because what's understood don't need to be said. Everybody understand what the business is. The MTA do not have to explicitly say a PPO system. Make sure that you get these workers back to work as fast as possible. And if they decide to get a second opinion, you know, you guys are in charge of the second opinion. Just deny the opinion and say that, no, the PPO system is good and we're good. That's just how it works. And when you're in a capitalistic society and people is out here to make money, because these, when you're with these IMEs, they must see in 20, 30 people a day. You know how much money that is? And you're only spending maybe 2 minutes, 5 minutes. 5 minutes is a long time to spend with an IME, no matter how bad your injury is. It's a lot of time to spend with an IME. So their turnover rate is astronomical because they are in the business of seeing as many patients as possible without doing the due diligence to make sure that they're not sending an injured worker back to work before their body is fully healed. Are y'all following me? Are y'all following me? I'm telling you guys, we are in some serious trouble here. We are in some serious trouble. But this serious trouble that we in, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And to create that light, because I'm going to be honest, I don't see that light now. But to create that light, the change begins with us. If you are upset about your union representation, then you need to be the change that you want to see to not be like them. You have to get involved in some form of fashion because they prey on members. They rely on members being dejected. That's part of their job. In order for them to maintain power and control is to deter you from getting involved with union politics. The only way they want you involved with union politics is they want you to be a part of their street team. Oh, you know, can you go hand out flyers over here? Can you go to this work location and hand out these flyers and speak to these people? They want you to be a part of the street team. You ain't got no seat at the table. You're a worker bee. You are in worker bee. And some people is cool with worker bees because, once again, they'd rather be with the union than actually be with the job that they were hired to do. It's just how it works. You ask people, say, oh, you know, I really like helping the members. You cannot like helping the members if you're not speaking out against the bad stuff that's happening here. It cannot happen. Let's see how many release reps make a video and say that this congestion pricing situation is bad. Let's see. Let's put it to the test. Let's put it to the test. Let's see how many really say this is wrong. Let's see how many say that it's wrong. Shout out to my brother, Mark Blaze. Thank you for the Cash App. You guys want to hit the Cash App. The Cash App is $progressiveaction100. Listen, you know, I've been really busy lately. I can't do the shows the way I used to do the shows. I'm trying to be at least once a week now if I can, but I need for you guys to share out these shows. That's a form of participation. Share out these shows. If you're in a crew room with one of your coworkers right now, do me a favor. If you're in a swing room right now with one of your coworkers, do me a favor. If you have a title where you could use your phone or whatever, do me a favor. Put this video on your WhatsApp chat group. There's a lot of WhatsApp chat groups out here in Local 100. Put this in your WhatsApp chat group. Text it to your coworker. Because to get this information out is so important. Because there's so many members that I come across and they be like, yo, I didn't know that. I didn't know that this was going on. The union administration is working against us. There's nothing that they could tell us. And for anyone who's lost right now, guess what? I'm going to say this again. MTA workers is going to have to pay the $15 for the congestion pricing toll. And guess what? John Samuelson was on that board. And when the board said, your members are not going to be exempt, he quit that board. He wasn't supposed to do that because that was a political calculation for him. He quit the board simply because he wanted to protect his political future. He didn't want to be tied into that, but he's directly responsible for it. He was our voice on that board. The union administration, the State United Union Administration that's in place now, said that we have a voice on the board and it's going to be taken care of, and they did not secure the business of the members. They did not secure the business. Once again, please share out these shows. If you can, donate to the channel. You see it, Cash App, $Progressive Action 100. If you're watching on Facebook, you could subscribe to the channel or you could send stars. Send stars right now. Everybody who's watching right now, hit the like button. We got to unshadow ban this channel. Hit the like button right now on YouTube. Hit the like button. Like this video. Facebook, like this video. LinkedIn, like this video. Twitter, retweet the video. YouTube is 99 cents to join the channel. Join the channel. 99 cents a month. We must get this information out there, and we must support who support us. Shout out to my brother, Chris Drummond. You already know I got your back, and we're about to put that machine behind what they're doing and expose everything they're doing. And like I told you guys, got a special surprise this month. Got a special surprise this month. And I'll probably say a show or two from now, but it's coming within. Let's just say an early Christmas present for someone. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.